This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying tuned. You're listening to The Morning Run. It's 7:19 on a very wet Wednesday, 3rd of August. Now, in about 30 minutes, we'll be speaking to James Chai of ISIS Yusof Ishak Institute on the Sahabat Kita Demi Negara program. But in the meantime, let's talk about the property market, because uncertain economic conditions, rising inflation, as well as house affordability continues to encumber the property market. Potential home buyers are deterred by the squeeze on their wallets as they have to stretch every dollar.
While property developers battle with the steep hike in building materials prices due to the impact from supply chain shortages and rising costs. Just to give you an example, in June 2022, average unit price of steel bars rose by 16% year-on-year, while cement recorded an increase of 12% at 21 ringgit per 50 kilograms. But quite developers pass on the extra cost to the consumer without impacting sales. And as the home ownership campaign that provides stamp duty exemption for some categories of home buyers comes to an end in December, how will developers boost sales of unsold inventories?
For some answers, we speak to Chan Aicheng. She's the president of the Malaysian Institute of Estate Agents. Good morning, Aicheng. Now, how is the property market performing currently as we transition to endemicity? I mean, is it a general improvement, or are there nuances depending on segment and location?
At the start of the endemic, which was at the start of this year, right, 2022, there was definitely a lot more economic activity in the marketplace. I think people were going back out, spending, and we saw the return of economic activity, which are all good signs. I think for the property market to perform well, it always comes down to market confidence. And that was returning with renewed spirit, knowing that the COVID-19 variant is, you know, somewhat less lethal and also could coexist with us in a way. Or whether or not segments and locations matter in the performance of the property market, of course, certainly the answer is definitely. The fundamentals of property investment or for property purchase, location, I think it still holds very true today. Of course, we have since added a lot more other conditions in addition to location to that mantra.
Inflation, although relatively benign, is high compared to our recent past. Now, economic theory says that property prices should rise in tandem with inflation. But is that correlation broken at the moment? I mean, are prices still in the doldrums?
Okay, I feel at the moment we are in a bit of a catch-22 situation. On one hand, we have the forces that are pushing prices upwards, being the rise in construction costs, you know, the cement, the steel, labor being a big part of it, and not to mention land costs also. And of course, a lot of additional features that buyers are nowadays requesting within a development. So all these are pushing prices upwards. But at the same time, we have a downward pressure on pricing because of the, you know, the aftermath of the COVID-19 pandemic. Many are still experiencing challenges, you know, and they are only beginning to see recovery this year. So we definitely cannot brush aside the fact that the pandemic has created some uncertainty among the buyers. And that has delayed their purchase decision as a result of job security, you know, and all that. So this has created a downward pressure caused by reduced demand following delayed decision and also a bit of a wait and see on the part of the buyers. So, of course, this is generally speaking. So we have the upwards. Upward pressure as well as the downward pressure. So, of course, some locations will not, this will not be an issue for certain locations. So that's why I always advocate that whenever you want to, you know, invest in any property or buy any property, you got to be very specific on the type of property they're looking at and the location they're looking at, because each of this has different growth projections.
Okay, but for some developers who want to clear unsold inventory, are they still holding to their prices, or are there hints of discounts or even rebates?
Of course, it isn't uncommon for discounts for unsold, especially unsold completed stock, because, you know, a developer's role is basically developing and selling and not really in asset accumulation of the properties that they're building or developing. So usually the developers, depending on their business strategy, right, they will, it isn't uncommon. Having said that, if let's say the the project is right at the start, I mean, that means you've got many more phases to go within the development. Some of them may hold on to their prices because they need to maintain the price standards for their next phases. So it really depends on the business strategy of the developers.
You know, so Ai Ching, in terms of buyer sentiment, you know, has the recent rising cost of living delayed the decision of first-time home buyers or upgraders then?
To some extent, yes. But I think it's more on the income security, more than just the rising cost of living. I mean, if someone is worried about whether or not the company that they're working for is resilient enough to ride out the challenges, or whether, you know, the company will go through restructuring and whether their job is secured. So normally in instances of this, right, income instability and security, then they will definitely delay purchase decision. I mean, it makes perfect sense to only purchase when you have both the need as well as the ability to do so. I mean, having said that, I'm an equally strong believer that there's nothing wrong with renting a place in the meantime. So the key is always to remember need and ability.
So, Ai Ching, can you tell us about the supply situation? What's it like for residential property in the Klang Valley? How saturated is the market? And I'm curious, has there been a slowdown of new launches by developers?
Okay, I extracted some data from the National Property Information Center, NAPIC. So in 2019, this was the new launches, yeah. So in 2019, there were 59,968 units of new launches, right? Then when it came to 2020, there was 47,178 units, which is quite a drop, right, from 59,000 to 47,000. And then in 2021, there's another drop from 47, right, to 2021 was 43,860 units. And what's even more surprising is in year 2022, Q1, only Q1, we have the data for only the first quarter, and the amount is 2,936 units. So for one quarter. So, I mean, I cannot confirm, of course, the accuracy of the figures, but these were extracted from the reports. And if it is true, then we are seeing a huge reduction in new launches in the first quarter of 2022. In comparison.
Yeah, actually, I mean, if that 2,936 units you talk about in quarter one is true, yeah, there is going to be a huge reduction, you know. So then my question then is, in your discussion with potential buyers, are they also delaying their decision to buy because of the two recent hikes in OPR? Or is it, you know, more the case that buyers who are just buying for yield?
I feel that even with the recent two adjustments in OPR, we are still at one of our lowest levels. I mean, the last time rates were at this rate, which is like 2.25%, right, was back in March 2010. You know, that was like more than 10 years ago. And if you really translated that, you know, the 0.25 adjustment, right, in basis points, for a $500,000 loan, it only equates to 68 ringgit per month additional. So that means if you're looking at previously it was 2%, now increased to 2.25, the difference to your monthly installment is actually 68 ringgit. So I think it's not a huge amount that of great concern, but at the end of the day, I mean, of course, everything adds up. So it's only how long this 2.25% is going to maintain, or whether there's going to be another adjustment upward, or it's going to be maintaining at this level. That one, of course, investors would probably view that, you know, in their decision making when they're talking about yields. But when you're talking about buying for own stay, then I think it's still at its it's still at a really, really good rate, 2.25%.
You know, Ai Ching, we're all about the money on the morning run, so I have to ask you this question. What's selling in the Klang Valley at the moment? What type of property and location?
In terms of type of property, I think it's timeless that the demand for landed homes are still the strongest. Of course, but due to affordability, of course, more are moving further outwards into the city fringes. So the developers can certainly confirm that the demand is still strong, even throughout the pandemic years, for landed homes, even in the city fringes. Strata developments close to MRT, LRT, public transport stations, of course, are still on top points for buyers today.
Thank you. That was Chan Ai Ching, President of the Malaysian Institute of Estate agents giving us her view on the property market. And the tip is location, location, location. But the location seems to be on the city fringes. It is still landed property, very popular. But if you're looking for strata developments, anything close to transportation lines is a big hit.
You're all about the money. I'm all about the data. I think what struck me was the quarter one numbers that came out from NAPIC. There is an issue about supply dropping, which I wonder if it's a harbinger for oversupply there.
I think we are seeing oversupply, especially for certain types of properties. So luxury developments, anything above a million, anything high-rise, KLCC, big units, I think still a lot of units available. But up next, we'll be speaking to Priyanka Kishore from Oxford Economics on Asia's food inflation. That's happening after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.